Hey everyone, every company has a charter for their customer success team. Some companies really put a lot of emphasis on increasing retention rates. Some of them are putting really the charter and an emphasis on upsell revenues or an adoption of your product. Could there be an ethical dilemma when you put so much pressure on a specific goal and tie the variable component of the compensation plan for customer success managers, not sales, to achieve upsell and higher retention rate? Is this too much pressure? What would happen if things sometimes go wrong? What are some of the considerations we should put in place when we put so much pressure into the comp plan? So I invited Stephen Fulkerson from TSIA, who wrote a blog about the three unethical dilemmas, or ethical dilemmas, actually, regarding customer success, to explore this topic a little bit more. Stephen, thanks for coming.
Thank you, Irene. It's great to be here. So thank you for having me.
Just in way of introductions, Steve is not only the head of the customer success practice at TSIA, he's also a commander in the military.
That's true. I'm a Navy commander that I'm responsible for cryptology warfare units, which is a part of the intelligence program, predominantly focused on cyber warfare.
I'm going to pretend that I understood all of that. That's how smart he is. Okay, with this scary introduction, let's get started. Stephen, being in the military, having worked in customer success for all these years and worked with so many customer success executives as part of your role at TSIA, is this what propelled you to write this blog about unethical dilemmas?
I actually was fortunate enough for the Navy to mobilize me back to active duty, and they sent me to the U.S. Naval War College to work on my second master's degree in national security and strategic studies. And I was competing for an opportunity to get a master's certificate in ethics and emerging military technologies. And there was about 55 of us that applied for it. 14 were selected and 7 graduated.
Wow.
So I spent a whole year focused on ethics in military operations. And it really led me back to my civilian career in customer success. And I started looking at it from that same lens and figuring out what are we doing right and wrong within customer success. So that's really what motivated me to take a look at this and write this blog on it.
You take your experience and like your studies from a military perspective, and you look at it at the prism of the business world. And in your blog, you shed light about like around three types of common dilemmas in customer success. What were those?
Yeah, the first one is really kind of focused on renewals. So as you led us off, talking about customer success can be focused on several different renewals, adoption, expansion, retention. The first one I focused on was renewals. And I talk about radio silence and renewals. Mm. And really what happens there and what we've heard about and seen within the industry is really a focus around taking a look at when customer success organizations have the responsibility to handle the renewal entirely. And in that situation, there's times when, let's say that you have a challenged account. And this challenge account, sometimes the CSM would go before them and say, hey, look, your renewal's coming up. We want to make sure that you're going to renew. But there's typically in some of these contracts, there is a clause that says if you don't give them a renewal notice that you're going to exit the business, you're going to stop your renewal 30 days prior to the contract renewal date, then an automatic renewal will kick in. Mm-hmm. And what we have seen in some organizations is that the leadership team is concerned about that renewal. And what they're doing is they're asking the CSMs to go radio silent, to stop all communications with the customer in hopes that they will overlook or they will forget that their renewal is coming up. Yeah. Therefore, the automatic renewal will kick in. So that presents a plethora of problems. First is it puts the CSM in a precarious position. Because first of all, what they want to do and what customer success organizations organically want to do is they want to make their customers really happy. And In this situation, they're being told by their employer mm-hmm. to go radio silent. And so there's this ethical dilemma. And what an ethical dilemma is when you have two competing values that are in conflict. So in this ethical dilemma, the CSM has this ethical responsibility to please their employer. And that's called deontology, the ethics of duty. So they're really talking about, how do I make my employer happy? Well, my employer's telling me to go radio silent. Then there's this ethics of taking care of their customer. And that ethics is utilitarianism, or the ethics of the greater good. And they're really wanting to take care of their customer. So in this particular case, the CSM is caught in a precarious position because they're being told by their employer to go radio silent. They're also trying to make their customer very happy by making sure they're getting what they need. But because they're going to radio silent, they're no longer in comms with the customer. They're not telling them, hey, your renewal's coming up. In this case, it's typically an account that has an escalation, or they're not really happy. And as a result, nobody's really working to make sure that customer's happy. So as a result, we have a defaulted renewal that takes place. Mm-hmm. The customer is found in a contractual obligation to renew. My experience has been that when customers are forced into a renewal when they're not happy, you're not really building a customer for life. So that really puts into question, are we building customers for life when we do motions like that? So it's a very strange situation that sometimes customer success managers will find themselves in.
What is your recommendation on this ethical dilemma? What would you recommend executives as the right path?
My recommendation is really that the CSM bring the awareness to the management team that, hey, are we really trying to look at customers for life, because this is not a motion? Do we want to work feverishly to show the customer that we're working really hard to make sure you're happy, you're getting value, so that you do renew? And my recommendation to the executive management teams that are leading customer success organizations is to stop and do a self-evaluation and look at your renewal process and ask yourself, am I doing that practice? Am I doing a forced renewal that forces our customers to stay with us even when they're not happy? Because that's a short-term profit situation, and it's not a long-term gain. It may get your investors a little bit of profit. It may give them a little bit of more income. But if you're not a happy customer, you can't make a happy customer stay with you, especially when they're not getting value or they're not being guided correctly. And that's the proactive approach of customer success. We're supposed to be not a reactive organization. We're supposed to be proactively guiding our customers to make sure that they're getting value and getting success.
I think what you're saying is taking something that I know, at least in the Israeli Defense Force, there's this rule that if your commander is telling you something that doesn't seem ethically right, it's called a red flag situation. And as a soldier, if you feel like somebody's life is at stake, you have the opportunity of not following that order. That is the only time you can choose not to follow that command. And I think what you're suggesting to customer success managers, that if you're in an unethical situation, you feel like it's not the right thing to do, exercise your red flag, not in a sense that just disobey your management, but at least be proactive, not just with your customers, but also internally to say, hey, I think we have an ethical dilemma. Now, I'm going to play a devil's advocate and say that as an executive, if I'm 2 or 3 months before the renewal and I found out that there's an issue with this customer, can I really solve the issue within 3 months? Maybe the customer is not even thinking about canceling, but if I start all this renewal conversation, I might stir something up that puts me in a very weak position. Rather wait, see what the customer wants to do. If they choose to renew, or they happen to renew without me provoking any thoughts about whether or not they should renew, they're just renewing it. Then I have a whole year or whatever length of agreement that I have. I have more time to fix it. And now they have the contractual agreement, meaning they didn't opt out. I know there's issues. And now that the contract has been renewed, I know for certain that they have made that commitment to be my partner. And now I feel more confident to allow these resources to fix whatever we need to fix.
Yeah, that's a good point. And there's really, it's based off complexity. So when we look at the renewal cycles, you know, non-complex company offers typically will start at the 90-day mark. When you start increasing to moderate level of complexity, their renewals will start at 120, and very highly complex will start at 180. And we traditionally see that most organizations can run a problem through resolution in a 90-day period or less, whether that's a bug fix that has to go through software testing and then validation. So what organizations really need to do is identify issues before they become challenges, challenges before they become risk, and risk before they become churn, and identify those early so that they can get out in front of that customer. And that's really the home of customer success. You know, it's trying to drive value realization and making sure the customer adopts. And if the customer is not getting value, then that's going to be identified by the customer success manager. It's really incumbent upon the customer success organization to get out in front and early. And we do recognize some organizations, they're CSM to customer ratio are not accurate, right? Their high touch, medium touch, and low touch models are not in alignment, and their CSMs are stressed out and they can't keep track of all the accounts. But that's a segmentation of managerial issue that's got to get corrected. But we, as management, as CS leaders, we shouldn't be putting our CSMs in a position that compromises their ethical issues, their ethical stances. And in this case, taking care of their customers and taking care of their company, those are competing values. And sometimes we see CSMs make the wrong decision. Sometimes we see them make the right. But to your point, it's really just being professional, going back to their manager and going, hey, I think we have a problem here. And let's talk about the best way to approach this.
I love that you share those statistics around it takes about 90 days to solve a major issue with a customer on average. And I wanted to also say we have done tiny little research in March 2022, and we asked companies what are some of the practices that they have. And one of the questions we asked is, how early do they start the renewal process? And then we correlated it to what was the percentage of renewals that ended up closing early, or, you know, having a higher renewal rate in general. And we found that companies that started at 120 days instead of the 90 days. So 90 days was the most predominant. The ones that started it at 120 days actually achieved a much healthier renewal date and were able to close more renewal contracts earlier. And I'm thinking, well, no doubt, because first of all, you started 4 months before the renewal date. So if you do have a technical issue or some sort of a challenge with that customer, you have enough time to resolve it. If you started at a 90-day, you're a little bit on a risky period there. So I think one tactical quick win would be to just basically start the renewal process a little bit earlier. And this way, you don't have that dilemma of maybe we should just keep silence. The CSM will have enough confidence that they have enough time to solve it if something actually is happening.
Yeah, you're exactly right. CS leaders really just have to ask the question to themselves, is our product offering, whether it's a software support, services, whatever it is that we're offering, what is the level of complexity? Is it low, moderate, or high? Mm-hmm. And if it's low, then you know we can probably survive off a 90-day engagement on renewals. If it's moderate, then we probably should be looking at 120. And if it's high, we should be looking at 180. Just to allow time to mitigate issues, allow the cycles to work. And at the end of the day, CS executives, they do not want to have late renewals. Yeah. So the key is to put themselves in a position where they're on time or early, but definitely not late. And that complexity can also not only be your offering, but it can be your internal process. So CS leaders really need to think about, is our internal process complex? Is it hard to do a renewal cycle? And then you're going to have to build 90, 120, and 80 days off that. So if you have an easy product offering or an easy offering to your customer base, but your internal processes are terrible, then that's something to look at as well, because that can really impede your ability to renew on time. And it may put your CSM in a better position to where they're not dealing with an ethical dilemma of the ethics of duty and the ethics of the greater good.
Well, speaking of which, you actually had three ethical dilemmas. What was the second one?
That's one is the one we call the shame game. And we actually heard about this before we actually experienced it at TSIA. So we started hearing from CS leaders that were working in tandem with their product management teams. What they were trying to do was shine a light on customers that were coming into renewals and or customers that were late for renewals or customers that hadn't paid their bill. So what they were doing is they were putting in technology into their offering so that when the renewal was either delinquent, late, or hadn't been paid, some sort of technology would happen whether it was alert on a banner or an email blast or something to that effect. And then we personally experienced it at TSI with one of our platform providers. And in the case that we witnessed it and that we saw, it was a banner, a big bright red banner that went across our web browser for the technology that we were using. And this platform was for a lot of people across the company. It's an enterprise use platform. And in this case, the platform, when you logged into it, you got a big red banner that said, you're late. You haven't paid your invoice. It's overdue. So you can imagine that a lot of people in different departments across the company logging in and seeing that this big banner across their screen going, you have an overdue invoice. So there's a couple of challenges that, you know, happened here. And in this case that had happened with us, we weren't overdue. The technology provider admitted that they had a glitch in their system, but the amount of time and resources TSIA expended was pretty exorbitant. You know, we had a lot of people calling into management going, hey, what's going on? Why are we late? Why hasn't this bill been paid? Finance had to get involved. Management had to get involved. So now we're not doing our jobs. We're all trying to figure out what's going on here, only to find out that it was a software defect within the technology provider. So our bill had been paid. So you can imagine, here's the ethical dilemma. This technology provider, somebody thought it was a great idea to build this into their offering. And that's the ethics of deontology, right? Or the ethics of virtue. We're going to try to do something that will help. But it's a one-sided point of view in this case. It was something that helped the technology provider. Did it really help the customer? And in our situation, it didn't. We had a very negative experience at TSI, and we expended a lot of time and resources. So what you have to think about as a technology leader is, when we are thinking of things that can help our customers, is this going to help our customers or is this just going to help us? And in this case, it was a situation where it helped the technology provider, but it didn't create a positive experience for us. If anything, we had less love for that technology provider because of the time and resources it spent. So you have competing values here, right? So one is the ethics of deontology again, right? You're trying to take care of your company, but it conflicts with the ethics of virtue, which is what are we doing that's virtuous, that's trying to help our customer and or the greater good, the utilitarianism. Is this the greater good that's going to help our customer? And that's what you have to balance. You have to look at what are we doing that's going to be complementary of both, but not just one side versus the other side.
Let's say the customer was really late. Is it appropriate to have these pop-ups or should those be served in a different way?
I would propose that it's better to send those alerts not to the entire user base because you have a lot of individual contributors. Those alerts could be best sent by being sent to the executive sponsor, the business owner, the technical owner, or the champion, or the finance person in procurement that has responsibility, but not to the entire user base that's using the technology.
That is very shameful. Like, you're shaming the business owner or the business executives.
Most applications should have some kind of role-based capability where you can identify the role that's using the technology. And all they had to do is write the code that the role went to one of those three or four types of roles, executive sponsor, business owner, technical owner, champion, or procurement person. That would have sent them an alert. They would have been alerted, hey, you need to pay your bill. Not the whole user base. So if you have thousands of users, in our case, hundreds of users, that was something that could have been avoided.
Yeah, I don't think they thought it through. I think not only was it a glitch, this was really bad practice. What about the third one? Overselling.
This one's a really timely one. And I'm really glad we're taking the time to talk about this because we have a very uncertain economy going on right now. And within customer success is going to be looked at for two big things right now. One is efficiency, driving greater efficiency in the organization. And then the second, driving additional revenue. So as you kick this off, you were talking about the charters, and one of those charters is the expansion charter. And customer success gets leveraged for lead generation, upsell opportunities, and cross-sell. As we approach this uncertain economy, customer success is going to be tasked more and more with trying to identify greater revenue responsibilities. And in this particular example, I'm talking about how customer success can be put in a situation to try to upsell or cross-sell into the customer, but they don't really need it. And the CSM, better than anyone, because they're typically in contact with customers 5 to 15 times more than anyone else, especially sales. And they're going to know very well if the customer needs that upsell or that cross-sell. And what we've seen happening in some of these ethical dilemmas is that the CSMs are being pushed more and more, especially because we have a tight economy, to cross-sell and upsell more and more. And the CSM, again, we're going back to the ethics of deontology. They're being told by their employer to go do this, go upsell and cross-sell because we need more revenue. We've had some churn. We haven't had a good sales quarter or sales month, so we need to sell more things. So they're being told to do this. But then going back to the ethics of the greater good, they're looking at their customer going, I know that they don't need this. So now we have these competing values again, the deontology and the utilitarianism, or the ethics of the greater good and the ethics of duty. So the CSM's being put in this precarious situation. They want to make their employer happy. They know they need to drive revenue, but it's not good for the customer, because here's what's going to happen. If it gets sold into the customer and they don't need it, the customers are going to sniff it out very quickly that, oh, you sold me something I don't need. The timing is not right. I'm never going to use this. Then this trusted advisor status that customer success has worked so diligently for is going to be in jeopardy, because now you're selling customers things that they don't need or don't add value. It's going to cause long-term challenges. And we kick this off by talking about building customers for life. These ethical dilemmas that we're talking about are not motions that build customers for life. They're motions that are designed for quick sale, quick profit, but they don't really have the customer's best interest in mind. And that's really what is going to drive greater growth down the road, is by loving on the customers, putting them top of mind, and thinking about how it's going to impact them.
Well, let's talk about this metric, the dollar revenue retention. I got to say, based on our survey results for March, for the most part, most customer success managers are compensated on net retention rate, which is the combination of not only retention, but lower downsell and higher upsell. There's a lot of arguments from, especially in smaller companies, that the customer success manager should own not only the renewals, but also the upsell. Does that put that team in a dilemma if their charter is to protect, be the champion for the customer, maximize value for the customer? Do we now have a conflict because we own the upsell, we own the renewals, to potentially sell the customers stuff they don't need?
We've seen the charter of expansion really grow in customer success, especially through our benchmark tracking. So in 2015, it was about 10% of the organizations did the motions of expansion. So that could be upsell, cross-sell, and lead generation. And today it's 61%. So anything over 50%, we consider common practice. So it's a common practice for CS orgs to do that. Where they have to be really careful is the focus, because the home of customer success are the motions of adoption. So when you do adoption well, the outcome is expansion and the retention. The customer will stay with you and they'll grow with you. And adoption done poorly is called churn. Right now, we are doing a comp study and we finished it. We're going through the data right now. When we're looking at the changes from 2019, when we did it last, to 2022. Now, we didn't do it again in 2020 because of the global pandemic. And in H1 of 2021, we didn't really see a lot of change. It wasn't until the end of the H2 of 2021, we started seeing changes in compensation questions. And previously, it was an 86-14 split, 86 base, 14% variable bonus. Mm-hmm. And we started hearing the numbers changing when we would talk to our executives. And we have 140 members at TSI in our customer success practice. We're the largest practice. So when we started talking to them, we started hearing of 80-20.
That's 25. Yeah.
70-30. And we're like, whoa, 70-30. We started hearing 60-40. We're like, we're not talking about customer success managers anymore. So Steve Frost in one of our practices that focuses on sales, he always uses the expression, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. If it carries a quota, it's a salesperson. And so that's what I've been trying to warn our CS executives, is to look really close at your compensation packages and make sure that they're predominantly aligned with the motion of adoption. And that's where customer success can drive greater value, is making sure that the customers are getting value, they're helping the customer achieve their business outcomes, and less focus on all of the upsell, cross-sell, lead generation, all of those types of motions, because that's really going to change the behavior of customer success. And we want to continue to be the trusted advisor. But you've heard the expression, sales are hunters and customer success are farmers. There's no doubt that customer success are farmers with guns, or hunting farmers is the more politically correct thing to say. They are hunting farmers. They're trying to find the opportunities because of their close proximity. This is the reason why it's still important to use customer success for it. Because if you think about the closer proximity, customer success managers can help a customer move more expeditiously on the commercial front. For example, let's say I'm your customer success manager and you wanted to buy 10 more licenses from me. And if I go, hey, that's great. Let me go get Phil and he's on a sales deal and I'll see when I can get that over to you. And I go to Phil and Phil's like, I got $1 million account deal going on right now. I don't have time to worry about 10 licenses. Not a high priority. I'll get to you in 2 weeks. And I come back to you and go, well, we'll have that discussion in 2 weeks. You've just had a terrible customer experience because you need the 10 licenses, but you don't want to wait 2 weeks for it. That's where customer success can really help, because we can actually do those types of transactions very non-complex, very quickly, add value. You feel great. You got what you needed and you can move the needle forward and not be waiting for 2 weeks for that $1 million deal to get done.
I think we kind of outlined it in some other videos that I had and a blog that we wrote on our CSM practice website around when is it appropriate for the customer success manager to own the financial transaction for upsells and when it doesn't. And it's very aligned with what you said. When it's an easy transaction, it's not a complex sales deal, they should definitely own it. I think what we're talking about is how much pressure are we putting on the customer success managers to find those opportunities, to find those deals. In a perfect world, I would actually tie the compensation plan to how many use cases does the customer deploy out of the general use case, bucket of use cases that we typically see for his or her, like the industry that the account is in, or the level of adoption, breadth and depth. That's an ideal world because, like you said, there is a positive correlation between adoption and outcomes to renewal and upsell. So just wanted to crystallize that adoption is not necessarily the actual use of the product, because I did have some customers, the software solution is super, super sticky. You turn it on, you have to use it. There's no and it's super sticky. The churn rate is like zero. So really all they needed is some extra attention to upsell in more accounts. Now, do you hire a salesperson for that? Or do you hire a CSM for that? If you hired a CSM, what is their charter? Is it the upsell dollars or is it counting how many use cases? Because with additional use case, the upsell will happen. In other words, there's a new terminology that somebody coined it. It's called upselling a customer. We should ideally have a comp plan around upsells, not upsells, for CSMs to solve that dilemma. What is your opinion? How do you solve that dilemma? What would you propose to executives?
Well, that's a great example. And that one really looks at the overall maturity of the organization. Because I too have seen those. And typically I see those in more mature organizations that have a very well-defined organizational structure and very delineated roles that have been captured in the charters. And it ties back to their segmentation strategy. How much accounts or how much revenue that is being owned by the CSM. So in those types of situations where those teams are maxed out, we do see that role that you're talking about that gets delineated out, and that's the core and sole focus. But we do typically see those being owned in more mature organizations by customer success and not as mature organizations owned by sales and working in tandem and parallel with customer success. So if they have two different charters, that's fine. They'll probably work together. You get two in a box type situation to try to drive those deals in. And it takes a little bit more pressure off the CSMs for commercial deals. If there is somebody else doing that, then they can just be focused on sniffing out the opportunities, finding them and punting them over. But typically those punts, they're going to land where there's complexity. If they can own it all the way through, they will, the customer success managers. But where there's complexity, they're going to punt to an AE or a specialist that's going to work on the expansion specialty or the renewal specialty because of the complexity.
Well, I honestly think whether or not customer success managers actually own the financial transaction in resolving this dilemma is less of a factor than how much pressure do you put on their comp plan and annual reviews. for delivering a high rate of upsells to the executive's defense, research shows that when you do tie the variable to an upsell component, whether it's net retention rate or actual upsell quota, you do see better results. It is a dilemma. I don't know what I would have done as a CS exec. I guess maybe issue very clear policies, a red flag situation, maybe allow for justification. So maybe tie every upsell motion with a success plan that clearly identifies the value for the customer and kind of mandate that to avoid these kind of situations. Because honestly, I don't think the company really wants those kind of upsells because they will just ultimately result in a downsell down the road and a dissatisfied customer.
Yeah, anytime we are overselling a customer, you're exactly right. It's going to lead to just that, a downsell in the future and an unhappy customer, and your net promoter scores will probably reflect that. Then it's damage control, and nobody likes to be on damage control and on a defensive situation with their customers. They want to be trusted. They want to be in a good situation. So, you know, to the CSMs that are out there that are in that situation, I would just encourage you to talk to your management team and share with them, hey, that we have competing values here. I'm trying to do what's best for the customer, but selling them more than they need may not be in their best interest, although it takes care of us as a company. And CS leaders are going to have to do some self-reflection and evaluate. Are we setting our CSMs up to fail because we're putting them in a precarious situation of competing values? And that's hard. That's something I wanted to draw out in this conversation as we look at an uncertain economy, because organizations, especially CS organizations, are going to be under pressure to perform from that operational efficiency and driving additional growth. Mm-hmm. But we can't focus on in this organization of customer success is putting our people in situations that have competing values or ethical dilemmas and don't take the consideration of what's best for the customer, even for short-term growth, short-term value, short-term revenue. That's the greatest challenge as customer success leaders. We've got to really get them focused on the right things so that there aren't competing values.
Well, wonderful blog. What a thoughtful discussion. I personally really enjoyed it.